Good afternoon. How are we all doing? Did you guys have fun last night? It's the last day of the conference. Anyone tired? I'm a little bit tired. So I was helping out with the keynotes earlier this week, keeping busy, and then delivering this session on Friday. So it's been a long week. It's been a long trip. This is the third week on the road for me. So I'm looking forward. Right after this session, I get to grab my bags, grab a cab, and head to the airport and finally go home after 3 weeks. So I'm looking forward to it. But I'm also looking forward to talking to you guys this morning. My name is Drew Robbins, and I'm a director of evangelism at Microsoft, focused on Windows and Visual Studio. And it's been an honor to go around the world and talk about Windows 8 and the opportunity that developers have to build applications for Windows 8. And I've been with Microsoft for about 8 years now and doing evangelism for various products. And I've never seen audiences more excited than they are about Windows 8. It's such a cool product. And there's such a great opportunity for us as developers to go take advantage of the opportunity to reach people and maybe even make a little bit of cash. And so, lots of speakers will end up giving things away during their session. And I'm here to tell you I have a great giveaway today. I'm going to give everyone 10 million euro right now. Who wants it? Anyone? No? But you know what? It's never about the destination, right? It's always about the journey. So rather than just hand you the 10 million euro, I'm just going to show you how to get it today, okay? So we're going to have fun, and we're going to talk about the opportunity here for Windows Store. How many of you are already building a Metro-style application? Just a few of you. How many of you have gone to sessions this week on building Metro-style applications? Okay, so you've seen some of the APIs already. How many would you say are C-sharp developers or Visual Basic with XAML? Good. And JavaScript and HTML? Okay, a few. So we're going to do the demos today in C-sharp and XAML. And, of course, as you've seen in the other sessions this week, I'm sure all the APIs are transferable. The great thing about Windows 8 is that Windows RT APIs, the native APIs in Windows 8, are available to build native applications for JavaScript, for C-sharp, VB, as well as C++. And so the great thing about that is the APIs you see me use today, the ones I point out, are the same ones that you'll use in JavaScript or C++, even though I'm showing them in C#. So we like to say that we're reimagining a lot. How many have heard us say this term in the last few days? How many times? Have you done a drinking game every time we said reimagine? Today we're reimagining the partnership. Okay, and what that really means is if you think about Microsoft and our ecosystem over the last, forever, it's been a little bit different in that we've provided the platform, and you've written applications for that platform, and you've written an installer for the platform, and you've created a way to sell your applications to customers directly. And along the way, we've helped to do marketing and co-marketing. We've had various ways for people to locate your application. But with Windows 8, what we're creating is the Windows Store. And that's creating a new relationship with you, and that we're going to make it a lot easier for users to come find your applications. We're going to make it easier for you to market and recruit new users of your applications. And we're going to take away all the complexity that's required in having the user acquire the application and get it installed. And so all of that becomes a lot easier through this new partnership and through the Windows Store. And so there's really five areas of the Windows Store that we're going to talk about. And they're here on the board. So the first one is just designed for discovery. And so we'll talk a little bit about how we're going to make it really easy for users to locate the applications that they want. Whether they're just browsing, I constantly go into the store. I've been running Windows 8 for a while now. I constantly go into the store and check out what's the newest, latest app. But at the same time, I also want to be able to find apps that are meaningful to me. I'm constantly searching for a great Twitter client, and actually MetroTwit was just released this week. I don't know if you guys use that Twitter client, but it was released into the store this week, and so it's available. But it was really easy for me to locate that once it became available. And so we want to make sure that users make it easy to discover. We also want to make it easy for you to get in front of users, get in front of potential customers, and help them discover, and we'll talk about how you do that. We'll talk about the unprecedented reach, the market size of Windows 8 at GA, and what your opportunity will be there to reach not only your local markets, but also a worldwide market. And then we'll talk about the business models The last thing that we want to do is come to you, who've probably been in business for many years and have a way to conduct business, and constrain you into a single business model that may or may not work for you. And so we'll talk today about all the different options for you to create a business model around your application that works for your company, right? And then we'll talk about the transparent terms, how you get into the store, making sure it's a predictable process, make sure that there's no surprises. Once you've done all this work to build a great application, we want to make sure you can get it into the store and know what it takes to do that. And then finally, we'll have a little bit of fun at the end. We'll talk about the economics, and I'll give you the keys to the 10 million euro that I promised. Okay? So discovery, let's talk about that first. So the first thing we do around discovery is the way that people discover things on the web is, of course, through search, whether they're searching on Google or on Bing. And we want to make sure that when people search for things that are important to them, that they can discover applications that will help them along the way. If I'm searching for great restaurants, well, can the application for finding great restaurants pop up in the search results? If I'm searching for great game that involves cutting ropes, does Cut the Rope show up in the search results? And so we will make sure that in our search results in Bing, as well as being able to make sure that our store entries can be indexed by other search engines, we'll make sure that those search results include great applications so that users can discover those. So we'll really help get you a lot of eyeballs on your app. We'll provide a page like this. So I'll show you the Windows Store in a moment. That's the native application on Windows for discovering apps. But we also have a web version of every single application that's in the store. And this is the thing that will get indexed by search engines. And when users land on this page, they have the ability then to click on the button to view in Windows Store. And it'll actually take them directly to that page in the Windows Store so that they can go ahead and purchase or download the trial or whatever the action they want to take is. And so this is another great way for users to discover these applications. And then finally, another thing that happens quite often is somebody will come to your website. And maybe you have a website version of the functionality that's in your application. You have that kind of web experience. But you also want to let them know, hey, there's a great native experience for this as well that you can download and get from the store. And so what we do in this case is we'll provide a button. And this is actually the consumer preview screenshot. I'll show you how it's a little bit different with the release preview. But we provide a button that tells the user, hey, there's an application for this site that makes it a native experience on your machine. Do you want to install that? And again, it'll go and flip them to the store. Once they install that application, then that button becomes, do you want to launch the application for this site? We know that you haven't installed, so we'll allow the user to just launch it right from that web page. And so let's take a look at that in store discovery. So I'll switch over here to my desktop. And you see here in the middle, there's a green, you see the green store tile? So we have all these live tiles. One of them is the green store tile there. And the store tile has a number on it here. So you've seen earlier this week, there's these live tiles that have the ability to provide information and notifications on the tile itself. What this 3 means is that I have 3 updates waiting for me in the store. And so we'll talk about this a little bit later about updating your app. But when you release the app, the store will notify the user that there's updates for that app, and then you'd be able to touch on that and go get those updates. And so when I tap on the store, it launches the store application, pulls in the catalog, and we get this nice, beautiful, immersive application for navigating through the store. And Antoine, in his keynote, pointed out some of this earlier this week. I'll just point out some of the nice things as you're thinking about making your application more discoverable, how it will kind of be marketed in the store for you. The one thing you'll notice is that we allow the applications to shine through. So when you swipe along the screen and you're scrolling along, you notice that it's the applications that are actually marketing themselves. And we allow you to submit several assets for your application that would be used in these blocks. Okay? They could be application logos. They could be pictures that represent your application, like the Cut the Rope one. You have the ability to submit these, and we ask for these different formats when you submit. Now, if you choose not to provide these, then we don't deny your application in the store. We just don't have the ability to highlight it if we determine that it's a great app and want to put it on the front page. So it's really important for you when you're thinking about marketing your application, provide those assets so that as the editorial process of deciding what things are going to get highlighted here doesn't become, well, we wanted to highlight that, but those assets weren't available. So provide those assets when you submit. So the applications shine through, and when you tap on one, I'll just tap on cut the rope, you'll see again the most important thing on this screen is the application itself. It's the screenshot. We allow that to take up most of the real estate. And so again, as the user kind of looks through, says, wow, that looks interesting, it's because the application screenshots themselves draw the user in. It says, I really want to start to use that. Of course, there's a description, some feature descriptions, there's details, there's reviews. And then over on the left side, there's that button for installing. Now that button, in this case, the version of Cut the Rope is free. In fact, if you download the release preview today and install it, all the applications in the store are free today. Just something we asked of our partners up front is that we would turn on commerce later. And so actually now is a great time to go and start playing with Windows 8 and getting some of these apps. Later on, this button will turn into two buttons for Cut the Rope. It'll turn into a buy button and a trial button. And we'll talk about the trial experience in a few minutes. But so here I could choose again to do a trial, or I could choose to just go ahead and purchase it outright. Of course, if you want your application to be free, that's an option as well, and that button will stay as install. And so that's kind of getting to an application that we kind of knew was there. You'll notice as I scroll across, there's several different categories. And this first category is Spotlight, and Spotlight will be this editorial, and you'll see this as spotlights in specific categories as well. We might have a editorial section of games at some point, but we'll have these different editorial sections where a set of editors will look through great apps and they'll have some theme that they want to highlight. Great Christmas apps for your holidays or something like that would show up here as a spotlight, and they would choose which applications would be highlighted into that part of the store. Of course, you have the ability then also to go and say, hey, let's look at what the most recent releases are. There's that MetroTwit first in the list there. What are the top free ones? I can scroll over. I can do games. I can pinch, so I can quickly jump to other categories. And then the other thing that I can do is I can also search from within this store application. So again, if I was looking for Cut the Rope, you'll see it gives me a recommendation there. If I hit enter, it actually brings up the search results. I can hit Cut the Rope, and I land in that page. So there's lots of ways, again, for users to discover great applications and to come find your application. The better your application, the better it does in the store, the more it gets highlighted, the more it's at the top of the search results, and the more kind of installs that you'll get. Let's switch over to Internet Explorer and talk about that a little bit. We talked a little bit about the fact that there's a web page, and so let me actually bring that up. And so here's the website version of that same page that we just looked at in the store. And of course, if I say view in Windows Store, I can then hit install, and now I have that application. And of course, this page will get indexed in Google and Bing, making it really easy for people to find the Windows 8 version of the Cut the Rope application. One thing that's interesting about Cut the Rope is that some time ago they created a version of Cut the Rope for HTML5 in Internet Explorer 9. It actually works well in other HTML5 browsers too. However, the great thing about this is they have this nice web version of the app that they provide for free. I can go in. You guys are going to see if I'm any good at this game. Whoop. Oh, no, I didn't get the other star. Anyway, sorry. I failed at the game. So, but I could say, wow, that game is a lot of fun. I'd love to have the native version of this, the Windows 8 version of it. And so here's in the RP, there's a little wrench icon down here with a plus sign, and that plus sign says that there's another version of this site. There's actually a native app. And at the top of that menu that just popped up, it says get the app for this site. And if I tap on that and now hit install, just a few seconds later, I all of a sudden have the native version of the site. I've gone I've converted very quickly as a customer from using the free website version to now the free trial Windows 8 version. But of course, I could quickly then convert to the paid version once that's available. Let's give this one more shot. I know I can do better. Come on. So anyway, so now I'm in that version of the application as well. Of course, now if I go back to the Cut the Rope site and look at that icon, it actually says now switch to the Cut the Rope app. And so once I have that app installed, Internet Explorer sees that and says instead of taking you to the store, I'll just offer to take you to the site. Okay. So that is the store in Discovery. So let's talk a little bit about reach, because the reach really is the amazing thing about Windows 8. If you think about, you know, we've had Windows out in the world for a long time. Antoine talked about how Windows 8 is really rooted in the changes around, or Windows 7 is really rooted in the changes around Windows 95, and now we're seeing a massive change around how Windows 8 is presented to users as well. But that ecosystem and that customer base is really worldwide. And so at Windows launch, the availability of Windows 8, we actually have it available in over 100 languages for you to target. Stores, Windows, the store, and the apps all will be able to target over 100 different languages. You'll be able to buy apps in 200 different markets around the world. And in over 70 markets, you'll be able to use local currency. And of course, Euro is one of those currencies. So that's several of those markets, including the top 40 by GDP. So really, the reach that we have with Windows, the ability to at day one be able to have a massive customer base, is pretty incredible. So what about the economics? Everyone kind of wants to know. So I provide an app and I want to sell it. Well, how much money am I going to get from this? And so we start here with a typical, it's typical with all the popular app stores, is we give you 70% of the revenue for your app. Okay, so it's, you know, pretty typical of all the stores, 70% for new apps. However, after $25,000, once there's that much revenue for your app, we will start to give you 80%. And so you get an extra 10% after that case. Anybody not want the extra 10%? It's a key element on the journey to your 10 million euro. So that's actually a significant amount of money. If you think about applications that are really popular out there for, say, Android or iPhone, that 10%, when we talk to those partners and say you're going to get an extra 10% beyond after that $25,000, their eyes light up, because a significant amount of money when you think about the revenue that comes in for those apps. So around pricing, so you know, as far as how do you price your app in the store, the first thing here is you control the price. We're not going to tell you your app is, you know, of this usefulness or quality or whatever, and it should be priced here. We're not going to force the price up or down on your application. You choose it. What we do is we provide you with a set of prices from $1.49 in the low end all the way up to $999.99. Anyone going to sell an app for that much? So the app that I worked on early on in Windows 8, the partner's actually going to sell for that much. I'll tell you about it later if you want. It's an interesting story, because they have the same app on the iOS. And there's a fun YouTube video of a kid who got his parents' iPhone and bought the app by accident. And of course, Apple doesn't have any return policy, and so they were stuck with a $999 bill for that app. I hope he enjoyed the studying for the bar exam, because that's what it was for. But anyway, so up to $999 for you, and it's a tiered model. So it's not like you can say I want $1.53 for my app. It'll be $1.49, $1.99, $2.49, $2.99, all the way up into I believe $4.99, and then after that, the tiers start to get bigger gaps between the pricing tiers. And you can go out to the store site and you can look at what the current pricing tiers are advertised as. And it'll get more specific as we get closer to allowing commerce in the store. Question? I didn't hear you. Yeah, so $1.49 is where we picked so that it was economical for the store as well as for customers. It's Apple has a 99-cent price point. It's just that's the minimum that we kind of chose as around the economics of the Windows Store. And so I actually think it's a pretty good price, and it's a good story for developers who are wanting to sell those apps on Windows. Going to have lots of Windows users, and that's a nice, it's like a, what is that, like a coffee or something like that. So it's a nice price. Cool. Good question. So what about business models? And what I talked earlier about, we really don't want to force you into a business model that you're not comfortable with for your business. So we've got lots of options for you here. Of course, we've already seen the option of free applications, and you have the ability to continue to provide free applications. And maybe those applications support some other business model that you have. Maybe it just draws in new customers. It's a mechanism for you to reach those customers. Or maybe you end up going advertising-based. But you have the ability to do free apps. But you also have the ability to do, of course, one-time purchase apps. Within those one-time purchases, you can provide time-limited trials, so the user can use the application for some period of time, and then we'll ask them to purchase the app for you. And then you can also do what's called feature differentiated trials, where, say, your application in a free mode, in a trial mode, has a certain set of features, and once they purchase it, additional features start to light up. Okay. You can also do purchases over time. And so you have the ability to say, if you want to, say, have the one-time purchase and they get to use that application forever, that's fine. But you can also do a subscription-based purchase. And so maybe you have a newspaper or a media site where you want the user to pay for the app on a monthly basis. And if they stop paying for it, then they stop using the application. You have the ability to do that as well. Again, great flexibility there for your business models. In-app purchases. People, applications, popular applications, a lot of them make an incredible amount of money just on the in-app purchases. And so the original app download or the original app purchase is actually a small amount of the revenue. The one that I always think of because I've spent way too much money on it is Angry Birds. My daughter plays Angry Birds, and she buys these things in Angry Birds that allow her to like skip levels or something. And are you familiar with this? But I just know I get the bill for these in-app purchases on Angry Birds. And so in-app purchases are important. And the thing that we do is we have a mechanism. I'll show you today how you can use Microsoft's in-app purchasing mechanism. But we also allow you to use your own existing commerce. And this is also very important for a lot of our partners. If you think about newspapers have been around for a long time. It's not like they just sprung up and said, I'm going to be a new newspaper. They already have a system of subscriptions with their customers. And for us to say, hey, you've got to abandon that subscription system and come and use the Windows Store, just is not appropriate. And so we allow people to use their existing commerce or even another third-party commerce if you'd like to do that. In their applications. We don't take any cut of the revenue for that. You keep all of the revenue or share that with whatever third-party commerce engine that you used. And so you have that ability. Same with ads. Ads, we would love for you to come and use the Microsoft Advertising SDK. I'm going to show you today how you can use it to make some additional money on your journey to that 10 million euro. But if you want to use your own ad system, you can do that as well. And you can use, you can keep the revenue for that or share it with whatever third-party ad system that you pull in there. Maybe you already have an ad system that you want to share with your website and have the same ad system in your application. You can absolutely do that. And so we have that flexibility. Again, we want to make sure that you have the ability to continue your business forward, that you don't have to reset things and invent new business models just to play in the Windows Store. You should be able to continue to operate as you want to. So let's talk a little bit more about trials. We've got a lot of experience with trials from Windows Phone. We've learned a lot from that. And we've done a lot of research on that history that we have. What we found out is that with Windows Phone applications, trials increase the downloads of an application on average by 70 times. So an incredible amount more users that are engaging with your application. And the conversion rate on those trials on average was 10%. So 10% of people who downloaded those applications would actually convert to purchase. Which for those applications that had trials versus those applications that did not have trials, The revenue increase was about 10 times. And so having and providing a great trial experience is really important on Windows 8. And what we do with trials is something really unique in that when a user downloads the trial version of your application, we provide the ability for you in your app to either do the time-limited trial or the feature differentiated. And either way, if the user decides to purchase your application, they don't have to reset the application. They don't have to download a new application. They don't have to close the application and start it again. They simply continue on, and that application either becomes a full version because they purchased the time limit trial, or those features in your application light up after they made the purchase. So it's a really nice trial experience where I know if I just provide this $1.49, this cup of coffee, I'm going to have those features in a second. And so again, time limited, feature differentiated. Now, time limited is really easy. When you submit your application, you'll be able to choose the price as we talked about, and then you'll be able to say, do I want to provide a trial of this application? You can say no free trial, you can say a trial that never expires if you're doing feature differentiated, or you can say I want a 1 day, 7 day, 14 days, 30 days, you can say what limit. Now, you don't have to write any code if you just want to do a time limited trial. If you said 7 days, 7 days from now after I download your application, Windows will pop up a dialog and say, you need to buy this application if you want to continue to use it. And then I can choose to purchase it. No code on your part to actually do that. You also, though, have in the application itself the ability to prompt the user to purchase. And so if you wanted to say, hey, your application's in a trial mode, and it's going to expire in 5 days, do you want to purchase the application today? You could have them have a button there that they could hit and prompt them. And let's actually take a look at how this works in code. First, I want to talk quickly about one thing, and we're going to start now getting to a little bit of the developer API and what it takes to kind of build these applications. This thing is called the Windows Store Proxy XML. Please spend about 30 seconds here to memorize it. Okay, maybe not. But what this has in it is basically a way for you to represent licensing information when you're developing the app. Because, of course, someday you're going to be in a store and you're going to be charging and you're going to be making real money, but you want to be able to test out the functionality of your app in trial mode or purchase mode. This allows you to represent what would be defined in the Windows Store, things like price and markets that it's available in, what's the trial terms and how long does the trial last, and then also any other products that you want to sell in the app can be represented in this. And I'll show you how to actually pull this into a project. So let's take a look at that now. We're gonna use an application that you might have seen in some of the other sessions called the Contoso Cookbook. And so we actually have a workshop that some of you might have went to earlier this week with Chris Mayo. He's doing it again today. It might be this morning it's this afternoon between 1 and 3. And he actually talks about how to build this application from file new. What I'm going to do is add some features today around the trial experience, in-app purchasing, etc. But what it does is it's just a cookbook, and it allows you to, of course, tap in and see directions for various recipes. You're all going to be very hungry after the session after seeing all these pictures. But it's got features like pinch to zoom. It's got a settings dialog, about dialog here. You noticed on the start screen, on the start screen, it's got a live tile. And so it's showing the latest recipes that are available. It's got things like if I go into a recipe, I can bring this up. I can pin that recipe to the start screen. I can get a photo if I want to brag about my version that I completed this recipe. And here's a picture of the recipe. And so I can take that and add that and brag about it. I can also share these recipes. And so I can go and share this on mail now. And say, hey, here's a great recipe. I can send that to my mom and say, cook it for me the next time I come home. And so point is, it's got a lot of different features for you to look at and as an example. And this is actually provided in a toolkit that is almost online called the Windows 8 Camp Event in a Box Kit. And it's actually the samples we use at all of our developer events called Windows 8 Camps, Dev Camps all around the world. And you learn how to build this application. So what we're going to do today then is a couple things. The first thing is on this about dialog, I want to actually tell the user, hey, This is Contoso Cookbook, but realize that you're in a trial mode. And I want to provide the opportunity right here within the application for the user to go from trial to a purchased application. And we're going to add that right to this About screen. And so let me switch over to Visual Studio. And the first thing that I want to do is I know that I'm going to be developing against the store, and I want to be able to test. And so I'm going to add one of those license files in. And I have that stored right here. And let me open that up, and we'll take a look. And by the way, let me actually show you in the web browser, dev.windows.com. This is the site that you go to learn everything about building Windows 8 applications. And if I go into MetroStyle Apps and I search for Windows Store Proxy, it's going to talk about the current app simulator, which we'll use today. But if I click on that, inside that article, you'll see here's all of the information about the different elements that are in this Windows Store Proxy, what they mean, and how to customize them. Okay, but let's quickly look at the one that I have. And what I have is we've got things like the app ID, a link into the store, if you want to provide that. We've got the name of the app, a description. We have the price. And we define the price here because just like in the store, you'll have the ability to change the price over time. And we'll in our application, rather than embed a price in the application itself, we'll ask the store API, what's the current price defined in the store? That way, if you decide at some point to have a promotion and you want to reduce the price temporarily of your application, you can do that, and your app will automatically be updated with the most recent information. To test that, again, we want to define it in a file like this so we can develop offline. And then we also have some products here that we'll come back to later. We're going to sell Italian recipes inside the application. Then at the bottom of this XML file, is also, think of this as kind of the current state of the app. And this allows you to test different states as you go through workflows in your application. So when the application launches, was it in trial or was it in purchase mode? So I can switch that and then run through and test and see how the application does. Is a product purchased or not? What's the expiration date of the current license? All of those things you can update here and then again run through and test those things in your app. So license.xml. How do I get that then into this app simulator, this store simulator? Well, what I'm going to do is go to the initialization routine of my application. So in app XAML CS, there's a routine called onLaunched. And inside this onLaunched, I'm just going to pull in three lines of code. And the three lines of code are basically going to create a folder. And this folder is actually going to be created in the local folders of the application. So every application gets its a bit of space on a local drive. So they have this local folder. And inside that local folder, I'm going to create a folder called Microsoft, WAC Windows Store, WAC API Data. And this is where the Windows Store Simulator is going to look for that Windows Store Proxy XML. In the next line of code, I'm going to get a reference to the file that's in my project. So again, another folder that every application has is its installed location. And the installed location has all the files that you included as content in your application. And so I added that license XML to the data folder. So you can see here I'm just getting a reference to that file. Once I have a reference to that file, I'm just going to copy it. Okay? And I'm going to copy it into that folder that I created earlier. But I'm going to rename it because that name needs to be Windows Store Proxy.xml for the app simulator to pick it up. And so when we make a call to current app simulator, the first thing it's going to do is look in that folder. If it finds Windows Store Proxy, it knows it has the data to simulate the store for this application. And again, if you go to that website, it describes exactly how to use this file, how to define it, and how to change it for your different test cases. So now what I want to do is I'm going to bring in a data model, and I'll show you what this data model does. But basically, we're in XAML, and I want to have an easy way for state changes to occur in the application and be able to update the UI. And so what we're doing here is just creating a class that's going to implement iNotify property changed. For those of you who have developed XAML applications, you've used this interface, whether you knew it or not, in order to do data binding in your app. And so when I change the values of the fields or properties in this class, the values that are shown on the screen will update automatically because of this interface that we've implemented. Okay? And what we want to do in this app license data source is just update the state of the app as the license changes. So here you see this reference to current app simulator. The first thing we're doing is when we create an instance of this class is we're going to check to see if the application is in trial. If the application is in trial, then what we want to do is monitor for any license changed events so we can move the application from trial to full once it becomes purchased. And so we'll register for this license changed event. That's going to, as soon as the user goes and purchases, that will actually trigger. And then we're going to go and get the licensing information itself. And the licensing information is just the listing info. It's the things like the price and the title and the description, those things we defined in the XML. And I just want to store the price for now, the formatted price. Formatted price will include the dollar signs or whatever currency you're using in the XML, as well as the price itself, and any formatting for the numbering as well. So then, if the application was not in trial when it's launched, then we're going to go ahead and set licensed equal to true. Now, this license changed event, what is it going to do? On license changed, we're just going to check to make sure the license change that occurred was the fact that it went from trial to a licensed version of the app. And if so, if it's no longer in trial, then we'll set this property licensed equal to true. We'll unregister for the license changed event, and then we'll do those property notifications so that anybody who's bound to this class will get those updates. Okay? And let's just look at the couple properties that we're providing here. We have an is licensed, we have an is trial, and that's just going to make it easy for us to bind. You'll see in a little bit how we use that. And then we have this property called license info. And license info is just going to say either trial version, or it's going to say this app is purchased and valid until whatever the expiration date is in the app simulator. So, and just formatting it there for display. And then finally, formatted price is just going to take the formatted price from the store and just create a string that just says upgrade to the full version for whatever the price is. Okay. So that gives us a little data model that we can work with and keep our code nice and organized. Now the about page, I'm just going to go to about user control. This is that about panel that was popping out. Just let it load into the designer here. You can see that. It just said Contoso Cookbook. And the first thing I want to do is I need an instance of my app, that class that we just created. And so let me build really quick just so it pops up in IntelliSense and it can find it. I'll say local app license data source, and we'll give it a name of license. And now we can use that, we can bind to that in some controls on the page. And I'll pull in a little bit of XAML here, and we'll take a look at that. So let me just clean it up a little bit. So the first thing that I pulled in is a text box. And that text box is going to bind to the license info property on that license data. So the thing that said trial info or the expiration date. And so that's all that's doing is binding the license info. Then there's this button. And this button is going to bind to a couple different things. One is the visibility is going to bind to is trial. We only want this button to show up if they're in trial mode. If they go to a licensed version, then we want the button to disappear. And then finally, the text of the button will just bind to formatted price, that thing that says purchase the full application for whatever the price is. Okay? And that is almost all we need to do, but we actually need to do something when they click the button. So let's navigate to the event handler. And inside the event handler, we're going to use this current app simulator. And we'll pull in the namespace. Just hit control dot and pull in Windows application model.store. And we want to request app purchase. And so you see these two different APIs, request app purchase async and request product purchase async. Of course, this is async because there's going to be an action that the OS takes now to prompt the user to go through the payments of purchasing this application or canceling if they choose not to. But we don't want everything else to block while that's happening. And so we're going to request the app purchase async and then wait for a response back from the store later, or just get a notification once the response happens. Get rid of that. And so there's one parameter on this function, and it's include receipt. If you set this to true, then you can actually pull back a result that has the license information of what they just purchased. Okay. If you set this to false, you're basically saying fire and forget. Like, I don't need any information back from the store. I just want to know that whether they purchased or not. I want that license changed event to occur. And I don't need anything this time. Now, you'll get this green line because I'm calling in the synchronous method. It's just telling me, hey, you're calling in a synchronous method. Do you want to fire and forget, or did you forget to actually use the await keyword and blah, blah, blah. So you're going to get this green line. You can just ignore it. And now, if I run the application, let's see if it worked. So let's go back, kill that, settings, about. And so, yeah, so I have my trial version, and I have the button that says upgrade to the full version of $12.99. I'm going to tap that, and you're going to get this dialog. Now, this is not a Metro-style dialog. This is not the Windows Store dialog. This is just a simulator dialog for developers. And so what this allows you to do is say, what is the response that comes back from the store? I want to test different responses. So I might want it to be okay in that the transaction occurred, the payment happened, etc. It might be canceled. It might be fail, out of memory. There's different tests that you might want to have happen here. In this case, let's just do canceled and see what happens. Continue. Of course, nothing happened because the purchase didn't occur. But if I hit okay, then that license changed event will trigger. And if I go back to about, the UI got updated with that new information in the license data source. Okay, so current app simulator allows you to program against these APIs while you're developing, and the license.xaml allows you to define the different test the different test parameters. So once you're ready, then to actually make this real, what you'll end up doing is coming back in here. And it's the same exact API, but it's called current app. And so once I use current app, now I'm going against the live store. Okay? And once I push the application out there, then I can get real purchases. So one thing you'll notice, and I'll point out, and it's the deficiency of this sample, I'll just admit, is when you're building these things for real, if you look through my code, you'll see I have a reference to current app simulator all over the place. And one thing that makes it a little bit difficult to centralize this is that it's a static class. It's all static routines on a class. One way that you could do this so that made it really easy to switch later, there's all kinds of different methods. You guys will come up with a great one, I'm sure. One way that you can do it, though, is if you do windows.applicationModel.store and current app simulator, and then just call this like store or something. Okay, so you can get an alias for this, and then you can go and replace all these with that alias, and that'll all work. And then later on, when you're ready to change this, and I recommend you just put all this code in one class file or in very few, so that you only have one place to change it, but you can come back here and change that. Okay, of course you could also do something fancier with compiler directives where you had it, if you did it to release, it would actually use the real store API. If you did it to debug, it uses the simulator. However you wanted to do that, but think about centralizing the references to that app simulator in one place so that you can then easily update it when you're ready to actually make money in the store. You can't deploy your app with the simulator. It's a really bad idea. Number one, you won't make any money. Number two is we won't actually let it into the store. So so you'll know if you tried to use the app simulator in your published app. So that was trial conversion, prompting the user for trials. Let's switch back here talk about some other things. So in-app purchases. Again, in-app purchases, really important to have a nice experience here as well. And what we provide is just the ability for you to define in the store products that you want to sell in your application. And then in your application, provide a way to prompt the user, similar to what we did before, to purchase those products. It's a great way, again, to do to both do kind of feature differentiation, where you say, I want some things to be available in trial versus licensed, but then also to provide more and more value over time where there's additional purchases. And so let's take a look at that in our application. And what I want to do now is, if I run this one more time, I've got all of these recipes. And of course, the Italian recipes just look really delicious. And so I have, I'm thinking about that 10 million euro. I'm always thinking about you guys and this journey towards 10 million euro. So I'm thinking what we do is, because those Italian recipes look so delicious, let's remove them from the product as far as the directions go. And make them available through an in-app purchase. Because, of course, they're going to see these pictures and they're going to go, I'm going to buy those recipes. And so what we're going to do is just make it so that the directions for Italian recipes are not available until you purchase them. And instead, we'll put a button there for them to purchase that recipe. So let's switch back to Visual Studio. And I'm going to add another one of those data models. It's going to be similar to the other one, called Product License Data Source. And let's just take a look at this. So this is, again, class implementing iNotify property chain, something I can bind to in the UI. And it's doing a couple things. One is we're just going to define some constants around what the product name is. One of the things that we're going to do is later on, we're just going to pull in some information from the current state of the item detail page and just set it in the app as group title. And you'll see me do this. And all we're going to do there is, when we set that property, we're going to say, if it's Italian, then let's make sure that this product is currently not purchased, or check to see if it is purchased. If it's not Italian, then just go ahead and display the directions. And so that's where we're going to say, hey, is this an Italian recipe or not? And I'll show you that in a second. You'll see here that we have the ability, again, to query the app simulator, to query the store, and get license information. We can get a reference to a key value pair here, where we can pass in the name of the product, the name of the product being Italian recipes. And we check to see if that product has been purchased yet. If it's not been purchased, we're going to do something similar like before. We'll just register for the license changed, so that when they do choose to purchase it, we can update the UI. And we're going to get the license information to sync again. And in this case, we're going to get the formatted price for the product. Again, you can have multiple products up there. So we're just going to have one here, but you can have lots of different products with all different prices on them. And so you can get the formatted price. And you can change those prices over time and always get the latest. And so, again, on license change, we're just going to check again to see if that product is active. If it's active, then we'll set licensed equal to true and notify the UI of property changes. Again, we'll have a is licensed, is trial, and then we'll also have a formatted price, which says you can purchase these Italian recipes for whatever the current price is. Make sense? Got it? Okay. So let's go use that then in our item detail. So again, in item detail, what I want to do is just add a resource. Let's build really quick. And then we'll add this resource. And it's going to be this time product license data source. Again, the key name will be license. And then what I want to do is get down here to where we actually want to insert this. And it's down here. It's not that far. It is that far. It's right there. There it is. So I want it to go under directions. So first of all, there's already a text block there that is bound to the directions of the recipe. I want to make sure that that's not visible if we're in if we're not purchased yet. And so let me just add a visibility parameter here. And we're going to bind that to is licensed. And so if it is licensed is true, then we'll show the directions. Okay. And let me just fix up the end here. And then what we want to do is if it's not licensed, then we want to provide the purchase button like we had before. I'll clean that up. And again, button, what it will do is its visibility property will be set bound to is trial, so that it's viewable when we're in trial mode for this particular product. And then finally, the text block will be bound to formatted price. And again, like before, what we need to do is register for the click handler event, current app simulator. This time what we'll do is we'll call request product purchase async, pass in Italian recipes, I believe. Let's actually check that here. Remember, this is where we define the product. That's the product ID right there. And it's 99 cents. Let's actually make it $1.99. That'll make it a little bit easier to get our goal. And we'll set that to false. Just like before, there's an option to get a receipt back. And then finally, remember the group title property we need to set? I'm just going to do that up here in load state. And what I need to do is get a reference to that resource that I created in XAML. And so we'll just say license equals product, license data source, resources, and license. Whoa. And then finally, license.group title, that's that property we were looking at, equals the title of, so the item is assigned to a group, which is Italian, in the case of the recipes we care about. And so we pull back title, set that into group title, and that's what's going to tell it. If it's Italian, then make it, make them purchase it. If it's not, then I'll let them see it. So now if I run this, hopefully I go into a Chinese recipe and it shows it for me. But if I go into an Italian recipe, it says you need to purchase this. Again, you see the $1.99, so it did pull in that metadata that I updated in the license file. And I get the simulator. Again, if I hit canceled, it does nothing. If I hit OK, the product gets purchased and it displays the directions. So now I have an in-app purchase. So it's really not a lot of lines of code in order for you to both do trial conversion as well as to sell things within your application. So there's a lot of opportunities here to plug in and make some money. So that's in-app purchases. So let's talk about advertising then. Again, we'd love for you to use the Microsoft Advertising Engine, but if you want to use your own, you have that ability. The one thing we ask here is that your application is more than just an advertisement. So we won't allow an application into the store that's just an ad. Now, it could be product information, it could be a catalog, all of that, but it can't just be an advertisement. And so as long as you're kind of complying with that, then you can use any ad engine that you want, whether it's your own or a third-party engine. Or, again, if you want to, you can use Microsoft. So why Microsoft advertising? Well, one thing, it just makes it really easy for you to monetize your app. You can provide the free version of your app, put an ad on it, and then you'll have the ability to start making revenue from the ads that get displayed there, as well as the users that click through. Keep users engaged in your application. We continue to have your application run while they can flip over and see the advertisement, and then they can come back to your app quickly. And it's also super easy to do. And I'm going to show you how to do that with our application right now. So what I want to do is just on the front screen here, I want to display an ad at the bottom. There's some space there. And I just want to display an ad so I can start to make some more revenue in this way as well. And so to do that, let's pop over to Visual Studio again. And actually, let's start here. Probably the way that you're going to start is you're going to go to a site called windowsadvertising.com. And windowsadvertising.com is going to have three simple steps for you to get started building ads into your application. The first one is to download the Windows 8 Release Previews SDK. So this is the ad SDK. It downloads as a Visual Studio plugin or extension, and allows you to then reference the SDK within your application and start building against it. Then you can go and review the developer documentation. And the developer documentation is really nice. It has some walkthroughs, getting started, developer walkthroughs. It has it in C#, JavaScript. So you can really easily kind of start using this add SDK. And I'll show you just a quick couple steps. So I've already done step one, where I've downloaded the SDK and installed it. And so now if I want to go ahead and use that, let's first just get rid of some. Let's clean up here just a little bit to make this clearer. And let's add a reference. And you'll see here the Microsoft Advertising SDK for Windows 8. And I'm going to select that and hit OK. And that adds that reference there. Now I have that library referenced. And what I want to do then is go to that grouped items page, that front page of my application, and I'm going to add a namespace. We'll call it ads. And that's going to go to Microsoft Advertising WinRT UI. And then let's scroll down to the grid. And I'm going to add it right here. I want it to show up at the bottom, so I'll say ads. There's one control, it's called add control. And I want this to go into grid row 1. I want it to align to the bottom. And I want the width to be 728 and the height to be 90. Now there's several different formats for ads that can go into your application. And I just happen to know that I'm going to use one that's 728 by 90. Okay? And so you can see it there at the bottom of the designer. So the last thing that I have to do in order to make this work is I have to provide an application ID and an ad unit ID. Okay? You could have different ad units in different parts of your application. Maybe you have different themes in your application. You're a magazine, and you have different sections on lifestyle or technology, et cetera, and you want to have different ads. So you can have different ad units. The application ID is a single ID for your entire app. So again, just like the store, though, you want to be able to start to develop this application without having to hook it up to live data. And so you have the ability for the application ID to say test client. And for the ad unit ID, I can say, in our case, image underscore 728 by 90. And there's a list of these test ad units up on the Windows Advertising SDK documentation. There's a whole list of them, so you can test different sizes and stuff. And if I run that now, I'll get a test advertisement loaded into my application. And so I can say, hey, that looks pretty good. I can still use my application. I can test it. I can jump over. I can see that I've got, it takes me to that site. I can quickly get back to the application and continue to use it. So now I have an ad in my app. Okay, that was pretty easy. So now, what if I want to make that real? What if I want to start, I want to go ahead and publish my application and make sure I'm making revenue from advertising? For that, what you want to do is go to what's called the Pub Center. pubcenter.microsoft.com. And this is where the connection happens between you and advertisers. So you sign up for an account. You say, this is how I want to get paid. This is the market that I'm in. This is the markets that I'm going to be showing advertisements in, etc. Then you hit the setup button. You can see I haven't earned very much money yet. I need to get working on that. Part of that is just because these ads aren't live yet. So then what we want to do is create a new application so I can register an app. And all that is giving it a name and saying, is this a Windows Phone 7 app or a Windows 8 application? So some of you who've already done advertising on Windows Phone 7 already have gone through some of this. But you can say, I want a Windows 8 application, Contoso Cookbook, whatever. I've already defined that, Contoso Cookbook. And so the other thing that you need to do then is create an ad unit. And I want to create that for a Windows 8 application. If I create a new application ad unit, I can give this a name and just say, we'll just say my lifestyle section or something. Contoso Cookbook is the ad. I can say different sizes. So maybe I want to do 250 by 250 for this one. And then I want to pick different categories of what would be appropriate to show within this ad unit. And so maybe food and dining or something, right? And so now I have food and dining, or books and reference. Or maybe that's the only one I can select now. So I get one. Okay. Books and reference. Huh, that's changed a little bit since the last time I was in here. Interesting. But so you can select these different categories. There's usually a way to select tier two categories as well, and can be very specific. But anyway, you create that ad unit. In this case, I already had one created called Ad Unit 728x90. And you can see I've got it, the ad category of food and dining, which would be appropriate for my app. And down here at the bottom, it gives me my application ID. And if you guys want to reuse this application ID and make money for me, that'd be great. So take a picture. Ad unit ID. We'll paste that in here. And now I've gone from test ads to live ads. And it'll take just a second for it to load. And I've now got a live ad here from Bing. Now, we haven't turned on Windows advertising yet, and so the ads are very limited right now to that Bing ad, but you can start to develop and test between the offline test client, as well as you can create some test ad units on the Pub Center and start to see how your application would work with that. Okay, so advertising, very easy to use Microsoft advertising. So then let's talk about transparent terms. There's nothing more frustrating than working on your application for months and months, and then submit it to a store, have that be a black hole, your application got submitted, and then I don't know if it's going to be approved in a week or a month. I don't know if it's going to be approved at all because there may be some random reason that it fails. So we want to make sure this is very predictable for you. And the first step is making sure that you can pass all the technical criteria in the store. We provide a tool for you called the Windows Application Certification Kit. This kit comes with Visual Studio, and when you build your app package, we give you a button to just go ahead and launch this kit. And it runs through all of the technical checks that we will run at Microsoft in order to test your application. And we're testing for things like making sure it's using all Metro-compliant APIs, that it's not using some API it's not allowed to use. We make sure that if you said the application's going to work on x86, it works on x86. If you said it's going to work on ARM, we make sure it works on ARM. Okay? We also run through some performance and quality tests at a technical level. For example, we launched, you'll see when you run this tool, we launch the application, we suspend the application, we launch the application, we terminate the application, we launch the application. You see your application launch several times. And in fact, one thing to remember is when you're running the tool, just kind of hands off the keyboard, right? Let the thing run and launch your application and suspend it and do all that without interfering with it. And what we're testing for is we have some criteria that just says your application needs to be able to launch within a certain amount of time, it needs to be able to suspend within a certain amount of time, it needs to terminate appropriately when we ask it to terminate out of memory. All of that is very important for it to pass this technical check. So you run through all that on your machine. If you have, we recommend you, as many machines as you have of different processor capabilities, of speeds, just run it on as many as you can. When you get access to ARM devices, run it on the ARM devices. Do as many checks as you can just to make yourself comfortable with the fact that it's working really well. And not only just the certification kit, but also test your own application from a user experience standpoint on all of those different devices. The higher the quality of your application, the better it will do in the store. So once you then run the local test, you submit it to the store, and we give you you walk through like a wizard of different things, like the providing those assets I talked about, providing description, providing age ratings, etc. And then what happens is it starts to go through this process. And we provide you can see the subtitles on each of those steps. We provide you with kind of what the current amount of time it's taking to get through each of those steps in the store. So things like the security test and the technical compliance, those will happen pretty quickly because there's a bunch of machines that those tests run on. It's all automated, etc. And so that will happen pretty quickly. But then we get to this step called content compliance. And content compliance actually requires a human being to take a look at your application and just make sure it's compliant to the terms that we put up on the store. And the terms are things like, does your application provide value to the ecosystem? For example, we won't allow fart applications in the store, right? Like, there's enough of those out there, and my dad has one that my daughter always plays with whenever he's there. It's really annoying. But we won't allow applications like that. It's got to have more value than that. The other thing is we want to make sure that we have age-appropriate content. And so there's two sides to that. One is we don't allow adult content in the store. And so the content needs to be at a minimum rated for 16, age 16 and above. But we also ask you to designate what is the age appropriateness of your app and to provide any documentation that you have that, like, if you've gone through a standard rating board and they have documentation to say, here's what supports that. That way, if somebody looks at it, and the content compliance team looks at it and says, well, I'm not sure if this is appropriate for a three-year-old, and you have the documentation there that says it is, then that helps with that process as well. But there's terms, and all the terms are clearly presented in clear language, not legalese, clear language on the Windows Store site, so you can see what our policies around content. Finally, we do the signing and publishing, and then your app appears in the store. And you can start seeing that users are downloading it. So how do you see that? Well, we have the best analytics in the industry as far as stores go. And you're going to get all kinds of data, probably more data than you care to look at around your app. So things like how many people are downloading your app, how many in-app purchases are you getting, how many people are converting from trial to purchase in your application. App crashes. Is your application stable out there? Is the app crashing for people? What's the crash dumps from that? And so you can get kind of the error messages that are occurring so you can continue to make your application better over time. So we've got a ton of great things for you to look at and monitor your business over time. So these transparent terms, again, organized around a few simple principles. They're concise and clear. There's no carve-outs for app categories. And while we're here, let me just give you a little bonus demo. I'll just show you. So I'm ready to make my 10 million euro with our application. And so I'm ready to go to the store. I am actually, in this case, in the professional, or actually the ultimate, in my case, the ultimate version of Visual Studio. We have another version called Visual Studio Express that is free and fully capable of building Windows 8 applications and publishing to the store. Okay. The only reason I point that out is because in the Express version, if you download the free version, there's actually a store menu. And the store menu is where you're going to get to creating the app package. In the Ultimate version, you can see we've already got quite a bit of menus here. It's on the project menu, and it's here. So it's just going to be in a different location. It's the exact same sub-menu items. It's just that in the Express version, it's in the top level. In the Ultimate version, it's in the project level. And here, what you can do is do things like open a developer account. That'll take you to the Windows Store site so you can register for a developer account. Reserve an app name. So once you have a developer account, one of the things you're able to do is say, I'm building an app and I would hate to have somebody steal my app name right before I'm about to go publish it. And so you can reserve an app name. Acquire a developer license. That actually happens automatically when you start to create an application. But if you need to acquire a new one for whatever reason, you can do that. Edit the app manifest. And so in the application itself, there's a bunch of things that you can define around, here's the title of my app, here's how I want it to look on the start screen. All of those things are things that you'll want to look at and define closely. Capture screenshots. And so I showed you in the store how every application has lots of great screenshots that immerse the user and make sure that they get they want to get your application. And so you can capture those right here. And then finally, there is create app package, which is not lit up because I'm running right now. So project, store, create app package. And so this is the step when you're ready to create your app package. There's two things you can do. One is, it says, do you want to build a package to upload to the Windows Store? If you say yes, you're creating an app for the store. If you say no, what it will do is create a local app package that you can actually give to another developer And as long as they have a developer license, they can launch your application and run it. Or we talked about sideloading in the enterprise earlier this week in the keynote. This is also how you would create an app package for sideloading and just make sure it's signed by a trusted certificate, etc. And so I'm going to just say no for now because I don't have my account here. And there's just a couple different things. One is it says which platforms do you want to support. Only select the platforms that you know your application is going to work on, right? That you've tested. If you're doing a JavaScript HTML application or a C# VB application, all those apps should work just fine on ARM. The only issue is if you've done something in your application for some reason doesn't perform very well on x86 but performs great on x64, and that causes the technical check, the fail on x86, then that may be an issue too. The key thing is just to make sure that you're able to test and know what platforms your application works really great on and only target those, because we're going to test your application on every single one of those that you target. And so most people right now are just using neutral, because a lot of people are creating C# and VB apps or JavaScript applications, and those are pretty much CPU neutral. Then you hit create. By the way, I didn't do one important step. Do you notice this right here? What's it say? It says debug. So that won't pass the store either. That'll actually fail the WAC test, because you can't deploy debug assemblies as well. So remember to switch to release, and then go to project, store, create app package, hit next, create. It's going to create that now released version. Then it's down here. It says launch Windows App Certification Kit. I'm going to say yes. And that's going to launch this tool. And this is where you just want to have hands off. Like, let this tool do its thing. And I'm not going to run it right now. It actually takes a few minutes to go through and launch and test your application, launch it, suspend it, do all of that stuff. And you'll eventually get back a report then to say whether it passed or not. So there's a quick extra demo there for you, showing you how to do that last step. So now let's talk about the opportunity and the promise I made you around 10 million euro. First thing is, a lot of people don't realize just how big the Windows ecosystem is. And so this slide just shows you, gives you kind of a picture of where we're at. We talked about earlier this week that Windows 7 has been sold to over more than 600 million copies. In fact, here it's 690 million. And this data is good as of March 2012. So just a massive amount of users out there, 690 million. Now, if you include the Windows XP user base, we're actually, as a Windows customer base, at over 1.2 billion users. So 1.2 billion users, when you look across the last several versions of our OS, is an incredible opportunity for people. When you compare that to any of these other OSs that we count as fairly successful as well, Android's at 345 million, iOS 196 million, Mac 32 million users of Mac. And so the Windows ecosystem just really eclipses all of those pretty dramatically. So it's a huge, huge opportunity. And in fact, we have another slide that I didn't include in here, but it's IDC analyst reports that talk about the growth of Windows over time. And they see over the next several years Windows continuing to grow, both in the enterprise and the consumer space. And the great thing is that this store will be available both for enterprise users as well as consumer users, and all of them will have the ability to go and purchase applications. So you have a tremendous market opportunity to go and target this user base. So here it is. I've got this in terms of $10 million. Let's just pretend it's 10 million euro. This is how you're going to do it. You're going to create a great application, an even better application than the Contoso cookbook. And you're going to test it. It's going to pass the WAC. It's going to be a beautiful application. You're going to have you're going to put it in the store, and you're going to have a great trial, but you're going to have them purchase it at $4.99. And then you're going to sell it to 2,500,000 people. Right? How many people think that's a lot? It's a massive amount, right? Seems like a massive amount. But when you consider the previous slide that I just showed you, that's actually under 0.5% of the Windows audience. So imagine you're in a room of 200 people. You have to just sell your app to one person in that room. Okay. So maybe maybe if you can't sell to just one person out of 200, then build a better app. But go back to step one, right? But man, it's just amazing to think about. And you know, some of you are probably here today thinking about, hey, we're going to be building some applications for my company, and we're going to be getting those out there into the store and make some, either for free or make some money. But some of you are thinking about it as an individual too. I know I think about the apps that I'm going to build. And just thinking about the sheer opportunity to get it into the store and just sell it to a portion of the Windows audience and make some extra money is pretty exciting to me. And to be honest, you know, I offered you guys all 10 million euro. I'd be happy with 1 million. I'd be happy. You know, I'd be happy with $100,000 extra, right? And so you just think about the low hanging fruit here to actually to build some apps. Add some value to your companies, also add some value to your pocketbook at the same time as you think about the apps you're going to build as an individual. And so it really is an exciting time because it really is the most significant developer opportunity that we've ever had in our industry. There's never been an opportunity for us as developers like the one that's here for the Windows Store. So I thank you all for coming today and listening to the Windows Store. I look forward to seeing the applications that you build in the store. I'm going to download them all and purchase the good ones and help you towards your 10 million euro. And so there's a couple resources here. I'll add to this resource that dev.windows.com takes you directly to the Windows 8 documentation for building Windows applications. And so add that to your resources as well. Please do fill out the evaluations. I do look at them, and I look at the comments, and I take all the bad comments very personally, so don't hurt my feelings. But I do enjoy the feedback, and I look at it, and I try to improve over time on that feedback. So whatever constructive feedback that you have to improve this, to both what I do as well as what the content is, please let us know how we can make things better for you as well. Thank you very much.